But through Jesus, their authority was taken away, was taken back. And effectively, by doing that, the devil no longer has authority over us. There are a lot of scriptures in the Bible around this, and I could quote it another 20 maybe. Each one of us, as we sit here, the devil do not have authority over us. He doesn't have authority over us. We have authority over our own lives, of our own destiny. If God says something to you and says you have to accomplish that, God has given us the God-given ability, spirit, and we have faith, and by speaking it, and by taking up the authority that God has given us through Christ, we can do it. We can change the world. We can really change the world. We will change the world. God is raising up His church. God is changing us from the inside to really have a heart like He has a heart for the lost, a heart for the nations, and not a heart for Cape Town, a heart for the lost in Cape Town, in Durbanville, wherever we live. God is really busy working. But for Him to move along, we have to sort of come and step. We have to join the process. He cannot fulfill His purposes. He has decided, He has chosen not to fulfill His purposes on His own. We are His fellow workers. We have to speak things into being. Just on the authority again, Jesus saying in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And if you're in the cadets or in the army, the one thing about authority is, if you're a lieutenant, I don't know, you can make a corporal. You can say, "Guy, you beat. You're now a corporal," and you can do that. If you're a lieutenant, if you're a captain, you can almost create. If you look at the, not necessarily in a normal warfare, but in a real war situation, the rank, the highest rank, has the authority to delegate authority to a lower person, to a lower rank. Jesus has all the authority. Because He has all the authority, He's able to give it to us. He's able to give us authority. And Colossians 1:13 just says, "Who did not rescue us out of the authority of darkness, who did rescue us out of the authority of darkness, and did translate us into the reign of the Son of His love." We've been translated. We're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. Just in Luke 10:19, just an example of Jesus speaking before. It's before when He sent out the 12 and the 72, He said, "Go out. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Even in that time, Jesus had authority on the earth, and He could delegate it to His disciples. How much more after He laid down His life for us? And He says in Matthew 18:18-19, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will have been permitted in heaven. Furthermore, truly I tell you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you request, it will be done for you by My Father in heaven." We know a lot of people, like I said, we struggle to have kids. We know of a few people, friends, family, that struggle to have children. We prayed. We took this verse and we applied it. And there's lots of kids running around because we prayed. So are we great? No. It's just grace and a little bit of understanding about the Word of God. Jesus said, if we bind, we bind. If we loose, we loose. We have incredible authority on this earth. And we must really trust the Holy Spirit to make it alive to us, that we actually believe it. Because we have to believe it. We have to believe it. When we speak, we have to believe it. When we ask God, we have to believe Him. We cannot just ask for Him for something sort of on the fly and just sort of be half-hearted. God is not a half-hearted God. He's a passionate God. And then just Romans 5:17, just want to put there in that, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, that's through the first Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We were not created just to reign and rule one day in heaven. Did you know that? We're not here just to pass the time. We are created to reign and rule right now in our lives. We have the authority. God has given us authority, each of us, as you're sitting here and I'm making eye contact to you, all of you, and the ones I'm not looking at, don't think you're missing out. God has given us the authority to reign in this life. We are so easily, you know, it's so easy to say to us, you know, this situation isn't working for me. The work is tough. This, you know, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. God has given us authority to rule and reign in our own life. Firstly, in our own life, me standing here. I must reign in my own life. In what sense? Do I reign like a king and God is not king? No. I must do what God says to do, speaks to me. I must make sure that I execute the purposes of God in my life. If God says to me, do this, then I have to put my faith together and I've got to speak it into being. I've got to trust God for it to happen. God is, I think we sort of, especially in the modern age, we're thinking that God is going to do everything just because he's God. You know, it's not the way. God says we have to ask. Like this, the scripture, we have to ask him for the nations and he will give us the nations. But if we do not ask him for the nations, we're not going to get the nations. We have to participate. We are God's fellow workers. And if we reign in our life in terms of just making sure and making God's kingdom come in our own lives, we have to extend it to people around us, to people we work with, to people we live with. I just want to put this, the next one, Renier. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And until now you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It's one of those, it's probably strange if you come into church and somebody says, be healed in the name of Jesus. But that's the thing. We say it in the name of Jesus, through the name of Jesus, we have power. If we believe, we have power to heal people. You know, it's one of those things in the last few years, it's sort of, there's so little stories coming through the papers and things of people being healed. God's desire is for us to be healed. Did you know that? We have to fight for it sometimes. I'm going to help my mother move. My dad passed away last year. And she had to go to a, she was living literally in the bush in the middle of nowhere. So my brother bought a small house in the suburbs, so there's people around her, so I helped her move, and I was carrying a big load, and I couldn't see, it was like this big, I can't remember what it was, boxes and duvet covers and stuff, and I walked out the back door, and my foot slipped, and with all of this weight, I could literally feel my foot going inside, and instantaneously, I couldn't walk. I was like, couldn't step on my right foot. So what does the word say? The word says that I'm healed to the stripes of Jesus Christ. I can choose to either believe it, or I can choose not to believe it, and wait 3 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever, for it to heal. That was Monday morning, a week ago. And, you know, all I did is I just prayed. And there's a scripture we'll share at the end there. Just to persevere. The fact that the first time I went around the corner, I didn't want to offend the movers, and I was speaking to my foot, commanding it to come in line with the word of God. Let's pray. You know, I walked away. Did it feel great immediately? Did it feel any better? That if all it felt worse. I was limping. It was gingerly going along. We moved to Sedgefield. That was still in Nysda. My mother lived in Nysda, there in the bush. And we got to Sedgefield. And so I was moving things out of the car. I still limped. I went to the garage. There's a stairs there. And I think the people probably thought I was drunk. because I was so sore. I couldn't, you know, I was sitting down and I was completely off balance because I just couldn't put almost any weight on my right foot. And it went on, and I went to bed the night. In the middle of the night, I woke up, and my foot was pain. It was real pain. I couldn't sleep. And I said to God, "This is strange." You know, what's going on? So I just felt, I got out of bed, I prayed once more, and I went to the bathroom, and I got back and I got into bed. It was like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I laid back on my cushion, and as I laid back, I realized my foot, there's no more pain, just instantaneously gone. I could walk the next day, do all this stuff, plant the trees, run around, do all of that. You know, God is the God of His Word. But we have to appropriate His Word. We have to put it into practice. We have to speak. We so often, God speaks a word into our lives and He says we're going to do something, and then we came 3 years later and we accuse God and says, "Yeah, but you, God, you've never done it. You know, you said this." But, you know, God's heart is, He said, "Do that," and He's given you all the tools. We have the authority. We can speak it into being. There's much greater things than a geswikte enkel in life to mend. But the principle is always the same. If we speak it, if we believe it in the name of Jesus, we have power, we have authority. We have incredible authority. I just read one of, I think Judge Dutch Sheets, I will never, can't remember his name now. So in any case, one of his books, he talks about recently, very recent books. There was that bombs in Spain about a year or two ago, and this lady was woken up in the middle of the night, and God said to her, "Speak to her, there's a bomb, you've got to pray for this bomb before, you know, it explodes." So just, I'm sure it's put much nicer in the book, but the first thing is, she didn't actually want to get up and pray, but eventually she got up because God was insistent that she had to pray. And she prayed and prayed, and at a point in time God said, "Okay, that's fine, that's enough. You've prayed it, it's fine. You can go to bed." And she, as she went to bed, she said, "God, you know, I prayed all these silly things, you know, can you put it in the news? So at least I know what I've prayed for." So the next morning her husband calls and says, "Honey, come look on the TV." American, I can't make copy the American accent. But probably more a para one. He says, "Come look here. They found this massive bomb on the tracks, on the train route in Spain." And then God, as she looked at it, God says, "You know, that was it. You know, it's something small. But all of us have the capacity, have the capability of fulfilling or bringing into being the purposes of God on this earth. We can do it." You know, sometimes I think probably the reason why we don't pray is because we don't see anything happening. God is awesome. All you have to do is follow Him, spend time in His presence, do His will. His will is praying. That's a lot of stuff that happens through prayer. If you look at, read the all the evangelists of old, the 1900s, the Smith Wigglesworths, all those guys, you look at how much time they spent in prayer. They all have the same story. You can check it out. Go and read about them. None of them were just about the high-flying power. They spent lots of hours in the closet with God. Lots of hours. Jesus, the Son of God, spent lots of hours with the Father. Many hours in the mountains. To be effective in this life and to really accomplish, we cannot do it without spending time with the Father. I'm quickly going to run through, I think I mentioned it before, we need faith. And I just want to read you these scriptures, just because it's Jesus speaking it, and it's a word. He says, "If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. If you have faith and do not doubt, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen." When we say, when we speak, that's really when we're praying. You know, last year, what was it last year? When was Angus here in Newlands? Can't remember. time flies. 3 years ago, they forecast is like 80% chance of rain for the day and the week leading up. Now, you cannot have an open-air meeting when it rains. You've got electronics running all over the place. So we prayed. I'm sure Tigerberg wasn't the only people that prayed for it. There was many other people. But we commanded the rain. You know, that's one of those instances where we have the authority. So if you want to go to the beach and you want good weather, do you think you've got authority to move the clouds? Nah. Is that the will of God? If you want to go and... Ross tells a story about when they went to the beach in Mossel Bay. They wanted to have an outreach. And the rain clouds were gathering and it was starting to rain. And he said, God, what now? What must we do now? It's going to rain. We can't have this outreach. And then the Holy Spirit just said to him, but, you know, take authority. And he spoke to the weather, and the weather cleared up. They had this the outreach. There were people that gave their hearts to God. There was people that got saved. There was a purpose. It was in the will of God. It was God's will that they have the outreach. In that instance, you can almost say the devil was the one blowing in the clouds quickly so that it could rain, so that he couldn't have the outreach, so that people couldn't get saved. But they didn't have the outreach. And after they packed up, it started raining again. Now with Angus's outreach, the same thing happened. It rained like for 3-4 days before the time, and then it stopped. There was enough time. You can actually walk on most of the grass, and it really rained before that in that week. And the forecast didn't change. It only changed at the last minute. God is good. We have authority. When it comes to God's purposes and fulfilling God's purpose on this earth, we have incredible authority. Because Jesus gave us authority. And he says if we do believe, we can say to Table Mountain, go jump into False Bay and make a nice little plane. Is it in the will of God? You know, there must be a purpose. So, you know, it's not going to help me trying for the sake of just doing it. There must be purpose. God is a God of order. It must be in his will. But if it's in his will, it will happen. And just to that's the other side on the doubt thing, James 1:5-7. If anyone lacks of wisdom, let him ask God and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Many times we don't receive from God because we just, you know, we don't really believe. It's hard and it's maybe harsh, but it's the truth. And, you know, God is awesome. Sometimes we don't believe. Sometimes we don't have faith. But if we go to God, if we go to him, like that man with the epileptic son, he came to Jesus and Jesus said, believe. And he says, God, help me in my unbelief. I don't know how to believe. God healed him, that epileptic son. God is faithful. But for most things and really accomplishing things on earth, God expects us to believe. Because he is the creator God. He is absolutely awesome. when we ask in faith, I'm talking a lot about myself tonight because just I'm talking. So I can talk about myself. When I started studying in 1991, and towards the end of 1991, I started getting incredible headaches. It's like migraines and stuff, but I didn't know what it was. So in the middle of my year-end exam, just before my main subject, 3 days before, 3 days break before my main subject, it was a three weeks of exams in the middle, 3 days. I was lying on my back in hospital because I thought I had embolism? Is it? Little klein blaasie in my kop wat hulle gedink het gaan bars. In any case, it wasn't that. So, you know, God was faithful again, like I say, when you pray, God was faithful. I studied zero. There was no time. I just walked into the exam. I said to my mother, there's a very little chance of passing this exam. She said, don't worry, have faith. I don't know how much faith I had, but she had faith. I passed. You know, God is good. And I didn't pass like 50, you know, I can't remember. Good pass. God is good. And then thereafter, about a year later, there was a lady called Elizabeth Austin. Did you meet Elizabeth Austin? She's a little lady. I lie not. She's not much taller than that. Maybe I was shorter then. I don't know. But she was really small. She was an evangelist. She went through... She tells stories of going into Africa in a little aeroplane. Her and a helper. And they go with the aeroplane with a route. And God says, this is the route. And then they fly. And then he says, okay, now it's ready. Jump. Then she jumps with her helper, lands in the middle of the forest. Then there's two gentlemen asking them, and this is the guy that knows the language in that time, saying, you know, okay, they've been waiting for them. Okay, now let's go. You know, there's some of us, you know, we think that only Elizabeth Austin can hear God like that and do things. It's for all of us. We just need to hear God's voice. Now, coming to Elizabeth Austin, the reason why I started talking about her, I was still getting these headaches, and I was praying, and I was asking, and saying to God, but you know, this doesn't want to go away, all these headaches. And with Elizabeth, I went forward many times for people to pray for me, and people prayed for my headaches, and it didn't disappear. It was really debilitating. I couldn't study at the time, and it wasn't classical migraines. It's, I don't know. So I went forward that night again, and she made me sit on the chair. I've seen it on TV before then and after then, and my first reaction always when I saw it on TV was, you know, just put the person's back straight to the chair, you know, make sure that their back is straight, because you're sitting like this, then any leg can like look any longer than any other leg. She did it properly. I knew that it was a problem. My one leg was very much shorter than the other one. Never noticed it, never realized it. She prayed for me. I remember Lissol May was still standing next to me, and you know, as she prayed for me, my one leg just grew into place. And when I walked home, I never had those headaches again. It's now, I don't know, 20 years. You know, she had faith. If we ask in faith, she had faith and she had authority. She spoke, she knew God, she had a relationship with God, and she spoke and did something that nobody else before could do for me. Neither could myself. She had faith. She had enough faith. When we have faith, we can move the mountains. If we do not doubt God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. It's when we speak, it's when we go to God, it's that knowing in your heart, knowing that when you go to God, God hears you. When you speak and when you ask according to His will, He's the rewarder. If you believe, He's going to do it for you. Last year, Jay, his wife was in Hinduism. I think he came out of Hinduism. We were sitting here. His wife had just left because of the fact that he got saved and took the kids. Overnight, well, not overnight, but without him knowing, he just arrived at home. The kids were gone. And it's a desperate situation. They've gone back to Durban. He's in Cape Town. He's not going to move to Durban quickly. He needs to keep his job, all those things, all the practical things. And as we were praying, I just knew God, what God will was for that relationship to be restored. And we prayed. We took authority over it. We took authority over the essentially it was demonic, all of this, because many of the things she was saying was actually not the truth. And we just prayed God's will into being. And a few months, I think it was 3 months later, she moved back to Cape Town. You know, it's about going to God and knowing that He hears us. And for some of us, it's difficult to believe. So I really want to encourage you in the cell groups, if God does something for you, share it. Our faith is built by hearing the things God does for other people. That's why we build each other's faith. It's important. Just on the same subject, I love these scriptures. I wish I could quote you the whole New Testament, but I'll just stick to a few. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. With God, all things are possible. That's Jesus speaking. And again in Mark. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible for one who believes. Really? It's one of those difficult things to really believe, but it's something we have to work through the word, read through the scriptures. It's something we have to fight out with God. It's that struggle that I had, that we had, when we heard that medically speaking, we wouldn't have children. We had to find out from God. We had to find out what His will was. We had to go and see and really then spend time with Him until we actually believed that He could do it for us. Sometimes the challenges that comes across our path, you can't resolve it in one night, one morning, one prayer. It takes time. It really sometimes takes time. And many of the things we go through is character building stuff as well. So, you know, there's sometimes that God allows things to come across our path that really stretches us. But He has given us the ability to overcome in every situation. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to go to the next step, to the next level. There's many things that we have to accomplish for God before the end of this world. Let me say that. There are many things. And I think if we knew all of it, we'd probably run away. I think we would. But I tell you, God is awesome, God is faithful, and God wants to establish His rule on this earth through us. I'm going to quickly read through the model prayer. What do they say always? God's prayer? What do they? No. God's prayer. The Lord's prayer. Well, the Lord's prayer isn't really the Lord's prayer, because it wasn't a prayer that Jesus prayed on His own. His disciples came to Him and said, please teach us how to pray, because John has taught his disciples how to pray, and we also want to know how to pray. So please teach us. So Jesus said to Him, okay, so let me tell you, this is the way you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's a few slides. If you want, you can get it from the office. We're not going to go through all of that in detail. The one thing that I just wanted, or the one thing, theme throughout this prayer that I want you to pick up on. Jesus first talks about our Father. Hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as, and it says, gives us. Gives us. Give us. Give us. Next one. Go back to the scripture. Give us this day our daily bread. Thanks, Renee. Give us. And forgive us our debts. And forgive as we also forgive our debt temptation. That's a big mind shift for us. Jesus, I'm thinking about Jesus had a few ways of doing this. He doesn't have to do it the way He did it here. He could have said, give me my daily bread. Forgive me. But He doesn't say that, does He? He said, give us. God is a Father God. He is so much for family. We cannot believe it. We cannot understand it. We are so far off from it. But God's heart is for each one of us. When He says that if one suffers, all suffer, I tell you, we do not believe it, but it is the truth. In God's kingdom, there is no just me. God is the God of the collective. God is God of us. He's our Father. When we pray for us. And I really want to challenge you when you pray, when you spend time in your quiet time, there's a difference about, you know, coming in and worshiping God. And if you go through the model prayer, Jesus gave us a good pattern, a way of doing it. Of coming to God the Father through worship, asking for His kingdom to come, asking for our daily bread. The big other thing difference there, often in our prayers, Jesus taught us to first pray for the kingdom of God to come, and then we pray for our daily bread. For most of us, it's so easy just to, we come with God, come to God, and we just come with all our own stuff. God is the God of the kingdom. He's got a kingdom with kingdom purposes. He wants to establish His kingdom on earth. The more we spend time with Him and ask Him about His will and His kingdom and what He wants to do on earth, the more our hearts are going to change to where we actually understand what He wants to do in our lives. Each of our lives have a purpose. If we do not take action and agree with God and pray things in together with Him, because we as a fellow workers, as I said before, the devil's authority... No, it's not my phone. I think, I hope. The devil, by Jesus dying on the cross, the authority of the devil has been taken away. He does not have the authority anymore. But if we allow him, things go wrong. Because he will. It's his nature. He wants to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's what he does best. If we do not stop him, there's that saying that if good men keep silent, bad thing happens, something like that. I'm not quite sure. I forgot the saying now. Forgive me. But the thing is, it's the same with us. If we, the people of God, keep silent, bad things happen. We're looking at that bus accident with those 14 kids drowning. It's a hard one. Was it God's will? I don't know. If somebody prayed, I don't know whether somebody prayed. I tell you, we have so much authority on this earth. And, you know, I haven't done anything right. I tell you one thing, one story. I was 13 years old. I got saved when I was 13, so it's now many, many years, seeing that I'm almost gray. Almost being the word. There was a guy in school with me. His name was Gatu. I don't know what Gatu's real name was, but he had big glasses. Like Pinocchio, Gatu. He was named after Pinocchio's Gatu. Do you know the cattle, the two cats? The Gatu. So I was... Do you all remember Pinocchio? That's probably the first question I should have asked. Now, God impressed on my heart to pray for Gatu. And I just didn't get the opportunity to share the gospel with him. But this is one of the failures in my life. And it took me a long time to get over it many, many years ago. Because Gatu, it was on a Friday. And I can't remember how the devil managed to get me away from him. And I couldn't speak to him. And he went home the weekend. And on the weekend, listen to this, he died in his driveway. His dad was coming, they were coming home on Saturday evening. There was a tree in the middle or on the side of the road. Nobody knows what happened, but they hit the tree and he died instantaneously. Now, was it God's will for Gatu to die then? I doubt it, seeing that God wanted me to pray for him. So what I'm saying to you is, if we do not pray, it sometimes have real consequences in this life. Because I wasn't praying for his life, protecting his life. I should have, but I wasn't. And he died. I don't know whether he met God, but I know it was God's heart for him to get saved. You know, I don't know whether you've got stories like that. But all I want to really impress on our hearts is that if we do not step up, people are going to hell. People are lost forever because we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We are the sons of God and we have to enforce His rule on this earth. There's no other one. He hasn't chosen somebody else. It's us. You know, I really want to ask you, really want to plead with you to spend time with God. To really pray for your people around you. Ask God. I tell you, if you ask Him, He's going to tell you. That's what He does with me. He wakes me in the middle of the night. There's some things that are really crazy that I've done. Some of it I can tell you, some of it I can't even. But, you know, we do things in the Spirit, and there's nothing different from me than from where I'm standing and you. I'm no more special than any of you, and I acknowledge here that there are probably 100 people here that is 20 times more gifted than I am. But God is faithful. Let me just read you this little James 5:16, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then it goes in, and this is really one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and I've deliberately chosen the King James version there. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So what James really is talking about here is Elijah. God spoke to him. God didn't say, "There shall not be rain, it shall rain." No. Elijah had to do it. Elijah had to go, he had to pray, he had to speak it. "I got to go to the king," and the king, he had to say, he had to physically speak the words, "It's not going to rain." And it didn't rain. And then at the 3.5 years end, this big thing with Baal and the sacrifices, and at the end of it, the 3.5 years were done. He had to go up the mountain and he had to pray for it to rain again. And I tell you, Elijah was living in the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't died yet. He prayed. He had faith. We are so much more. We have so much more. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus dying on the cross already, taking all the authority away from the evil one. He may have power to use it, but if we give him authority to use it. If we believe, like Elijah believed, anything in our lives, if we believe, just as he was just, and the Bible says he was just a man like us, some translations say. A man like us. And he spoke to the heavens, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. 3.5 years is a long time. And after 3.5 years, he had to pray. And the Bible says he had to pray 7 times. He had to persevere. It just didn't start raining. He had to go down 7 times on his knees before God before it started raining. Renee, just go to G, slide 38. Thanks. You know, sometimes we want to lose heart when we pray for people, and it doesn't come through. As and this is the last thing I'm going to share tonight, and I just want to talk about the story in Luke where Jesus is speaking, and he's it starts off, and I just want to read you this, and the rest I'll paraphrase. He says, and he told them a parable to the effect, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And he's talking about this judge, which was not a God-fearing man. He didn't think that there was anything special about Christianity or God. He was just doing his own thing. And then Jesus talks about this widow. A widow in the Old Testament, in the time of Jesus. If you were a widow with nobody supporting you, it meant that you were literally the outcast. Because what does the word say? If you were a Jew, if your husband dies, then your brother has to take you in and care for you. You become your husband. So if you're a widow, and then it means that you have nobody else, no other family that can look after you. So God says, Jesus is saying that this widow, we had actually no authority. She was the widow in a true Jewish sense. There was nobody else that can look after her but God. She comes to this judge and she asks for justice. And then he doesn't really want to listen. But after a while, he does. And he says, well, you know, I'm going to probably get this over and done with and give it justice, my words, because she's really annoying me. She's here every second day. You know, she's giving me a headache. I've got to do something. And then he does something. And then Jesus says, and will not God, that's verse 7, and will not God give justice to the elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? That's just one of the last testimony for my own life. I was married in 1998. My wife and her dad didn't have a great relationship. In fact, things happened and they were really angry for each other. She knew she had to forgive him, but it just didn't happen. She forgave him and she walked away, and she felt exactly the same way. It didn't change her heart towards him. So we've been praying for that. And married 14 years this year. No, 13. So last year was 12 years. So beginning of last year, one of her cousins asked her to pray together. After 12 years, God comes through. She forgives her dad in a second. It was in a second. And she walks away completely healed from it. She doesn't have all that anger, all of that just disappeared in an instant. And just want to encourage you, there are sometimes things that really take a long time to pray through. And like Jesus, I want to tell you, I want to say to you, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. God is faithful. There are some people we are praying for salvation for decades. Sorry. Do not give up. God doesn't give up on us. We don't give up on anybody else. We do not. I really want to encourage you, pray. God wants us to change the world, but we cannot do it if we do not pray. We have intercession tomorrow night. If you can, please be there. Please check your hearts. God wants to use each one of us. It's not about being great as a church or anything. All we want to do, all our heart's desire is to do God's will. And we know that if we do not pray, if we do not spend time in God's presence, we're not going to be able to do His will. We're not going to fulfill His work on this earth. We're not going to be able to do it, people. We're not going to be able to do it. So I really want to challenge you in your own lives. Take stock. Ross shared something last week, and Yaku shared it with me because I was in Sedgefield moving home, moving house, so I didn't hear it. But Ross was just saying that often we're too busy, and it's so true. We're too busy to pray. We'll pray tomorrow. We'll pray next week. We don't pray for the things that are important. Let me tell you, if you are married, you must pray for your wife every day. If you are married, you're the wife. You must pray for your husband every day. That is what God asks for us. You know, you can say that's legalistic and whatever, but God expects us to cover each other. That is what covenant means. We cover each other. We cover our children. We pray. We make sure that they are safe. God is not interested in, you know, in our destruction. Not at all. But if we do not protect them, you know, we are the ones that have to pray. We have to pray His will into being. So really want to encourage you to, in your private time, to pray, start praying. And if you don't pray at all, don't be convicted. Just go to God and say, and start. Just say, I'm here. God wants to use us in the sense, not like, you know, I want to use my kids. I want to do things with them. God wants to do things with us. He wants us to conquer the world and do everything that He wants to do in this earth age. And He's passionate about us. He's passionate about the earth. He's passionate about the people on this earth because He wants them all to know Him. And we are the ones that are doing it with Him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that You have called us, Lord God, to execute, Lord God, with You, Lord God, Your purposes on earth, Lord God. Thank You, Father, that You have chosen us, Lord. You could have done so many other things, Lord God. You could have used Your angels. You could have you can choose to do other things, Father. But, Lord, still You choose to enforce Your will on earth through us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that You will speak to us in our hearts, Lord, that You will stir us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, that You will stir us, Lord, to like the apostles of old, Lord God, in the beginning, in the early church, Lord, where the four foundations, Lord God, of fellowship, Lord God, and teachings, and breaking of bread and prayer, Father, that it will truth of our church, Lord, of this house of You, Lord, that we will be a house of prayer, Lord God. Lord Jesus, like You say, that Your house must be a house of prayer, Lord God. And Father God, we are willing, Lord. We know, Lord, that the flesh is weak, Lord. And therefore, Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that You will come in and ignite our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we will start praying. Lord, we say, Lord, speak to us in the night. Lord, we are willing. Like the song says, Lord God, when you speak, we will move, Lord God. We will do, Lord God, as you command us to do, Lord. Lord, we are willing, Lord God, to partner with you, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll, yeah, Lord, in this time, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you'll give specific instructions to people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll warn us, Lord, like you say in your word, Lord. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that it's meant for each one of us, Father. It's not a select few, Lord. We have all been called, Father, like we're all called to make disciples, Father. We are called to pray, Lord. It is the way of communicating with you, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will really strengthen us, Lord, as a church, Lord, through prayer, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that your will be done, Lord. Above all, Father, that your will be done, Lord. In our church, Lord God, in this house, Lord, and in the world, Father. In Jesus' name.